As we look at this passage, Nehemiah 6, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it, and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same matter. Then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in like manner the fifth time, with an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, It is reported among the heathen, and Gashmu saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel. For which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king, according to these words. And thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, There is a king in Judah, and now shall it be reported to the king, according to these words. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together. Then I sent unto him, saying, There are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. For they all make us afraid, saying, Their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Afterward I came into the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabeel, who was shut up, and he said, Let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night will they come to slay thee. And I said, Should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me. For Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Therefore was he hired, that I should be afraid and do so and sin, and that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works, and on the prophetess Noadiah, and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul, in 52 days. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, that they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. Moreover, in those days the nobles of Judah sent many letters unto Tobiah, and the letters of Tobiah came unto them. For there were many in Judah sworn unto him, because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Arah, and his son Joan had taken the daughter of Meshullam, the son of Berechiah. Also they reported his good deeds before me, and uttered my words to him. And Tobiah sent letters to put me in fear. Let's pray. Father in heaven, this passage of Scripture details to us the lengths to which enemies go to stop your work. Now, Lord, help us to take, by way of application, these lessons that we see here, and help us to understand that the devil has not stopped fighting us, that the devil hates thee, that the devil wants to see young people in church not know the Word of God, not be saved, not go on and to serve thee. He wants to see this work stopped and hindered. And we pray to our Heavenly Father that you would give us heavenly wisdom. Help us to take the things that we learn from this particular chapter and apply them to our lives. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We're not going to have time tonight to go through all of these particular schemes that are designed for the purpose of stopping and completing the work of building the wall. But there are some unique schemes. And the Bible has told us that we are not ignorant concerning the devil's devices. We're not ignorant of his methods. And again, here in the book of Nehemiah, we see unfolded some of the methods of Satan that he uses to keep God's work from moving forward, to slow it down, to keep it from coming to a completion, to discourage people from doing the work of the Lord. And you know, you and I constantly have to be on guard. We have to ask God to put a hedge around our mind. That's where the devil fires his fiery darts. He goes after your head. He goes after your thinking. He wants to create fear in your mind and in your heart. He wants to design things that begin to cause you to think apart from the Scriptures. You start thinking immediately about the circumstances and someone's trying to kill me. What am I going to do? So what am I going to do? Well, they didn't have back in those days Brinks to call and come and put a security system in on the wall. They didn't have ADT to come put in security alarms and hook it up so if somebody crosses over the line, the alarm's found and all the police come out and arrest the bad guys. Isn't that how we think so many times? You know, if we can just put up enough bars and we can put up enough security things, then we're going to be safe. We're going to have security and peace. Nehemiah didn't have the benefit of any of that. Nehemiah had to look to the Lord. He had to call upon His name. And so there are three schemes that are given to us here. I want to kind of go into these. We'll see how far we can go tonight. And hopefully by way of application, we can understand some of the wiles of the devil so that we're not ignorant. Number one, scheme, assassination. Assassination. Now, Nehemiah was a man of integrity. This is kind of a side note here, and I want you to see this. It came to pass, verse 1, when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein. And then there's a little parenthesis here. I want you to notice this. Though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates. Now this is an important fact that's supplied by Nehemiah by pen of inspiration. These enemies know that there's still time. All the walls built, everything's in place except for what? The gates. Now, how important is a door and a gate? It's very important. I go out every night, my duties as a dad. Right now, I still go unplug the Christmas lights. And then I go to the door and I lock my glass door there, high security. You know, a dog could come up and lean against it and the door would pop open. But I go and I lock the doors. And I'll go around and I'll check the windows. Now, sometimes we'll leave the windows open at night, but I go around and I'll check the doors. Now, you know, if somebody wants to break in, they're going to break in. You understand that. But it makes us feel better to walk around and to turn those doors and lock those things. And you say, well, Lord, watch over us tonight as we go to sleep. And we got our brave guardian dog out in the backyard that barks at leaves falling out of trees and all that kind of stuff. But he can come up with a pretty good scary bark every once in a while if somebody comes walking by our street. And so we've got security measures at the Brainerd House. 6029 Kingswood Drive. We've got a dog and we've got cheap locks that are going to keep us secure at night, right? Is that right? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Those things are just feel-good mechanisms that cause our psychological being to feel a little bit better about crawling under the covers and going to sleep. Right? Now, understand that. You may have a top-notch security system, like we've already said, and you may have all kinds of things that go off. You may have an alarm. You may have lights that pop on. When the alarm is a trick. It may call people all over the United States, probably somebody in Bangalore, India, that's up all night long. They're already up on the other side of the world. And so they call our Milton police force to come out there and protect our house. Those are grand and glorious security systems, aren't they? No, not really. Nehemiah mentions the fact we don't have any gates. Now, what good is a wall that's got openings all the way around it? How many gates did they have around the wall? 12. Would you call that porous? Nehemiah owns the fact that the wall is done as far as the block and the mortar, but they're still wide open. The gates are not put up yet. They're not ready to go. Now, I appreciate the fact that Nehemiah is honest. He could have skipped over that fact and not told us, but he wants us to get the full story. He wants us to understand a little bit of why Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian are so aggressive coming after them at this particular time. We're told six times, the first time and five other times, they send letters wanting Nehemiah to leave the city. Now, I appreciate that kind of honesty. You know, we live in a day of dishonesty where people are prone to inflate stories and slant stories and reports to make things look good when they're not. Now, let me ask you this. When you go to the doctor, what kind of a diagnosis do you want to have? One that's slanted? Or do you want to have one that's upfront and honest? Well, I think we'd all say we want something that's upfront and honest. How about this? How about going to your tax preparer? Okay? Would you want him to say, listen, I think I can save you some money. Now, you know, this is a little on the shady side, but I think I can probably get you a few hundred extra dollars doing this kind of thing. Is that the kind of tax preparer you want? Okay? You can look him at the face and you can already see the jail bars in front of it. You want somebody that's going to be honest and say, listen, better not go here. That's not going to work. You might get it, but more than likely that's going to be something that's illegal. You want them to be honest with you. Tell the whole truth in that regard. How about at the gas pump? How do you know when you pull up at the gas pump? We're paying $3.03 now for gas. Now, you're at the gas pump. How do you know those numbers are accurate? There's a certification sticker on there, and it's got Mr. Wynn's name. Okay, he's our certifier for Santa Rosa, Okaloosa, and Escambia County. Anybody ever met Mr. Wynn? I've met Mr. Wynn. I was at a gas station, and he was there inspecting. I said, are you the guy that signs off on all these? Yeah, I'm the guy that signs off on all of those. I think he's Vietnamese, and I wasn't for sure. But we had a chance to talk to him. I said, you're a famous man. He said, everybody hates me. Everybody hates me. But, you know, when you're pumping that gas, you're supposing that Mr. Wynn checked that pump and that those numbers are accurate. As you watch that top one spin like a fan and the bottom one go real slow as it's pumping the gallons in there, you're assuming that those numbers are accurate, correct? Now, when the enemies heard that the wall was complete, Nehemiah honestly admits that their report of everything being done was exaggerated, because that's the kind of the feel we get when they heard that they had builded the wall. In the Hebrew, it's in the past tense that the wall is completed. Nehemiah sets the record straight and said, well, it's not completely completed. We haven't put the gates up yet. So they had already gotten word back, said, hey, everything's done. And so they said, well, let's focus now and see if we can kill Nehemiah. Let's take him out of the picture. Nehemiah is honest and forthright, gives us all the information so we can know why there's such intensity to take his life, because the wall is almost complete. Now, target of the enemy here in verses 2 and 3. The enemy offered a meeting to work out a compromise. Now, you talk about one of the devil's tactics. This is one of them right here. Listen, Nehemiah, we want to have a meeting. And we want you to come to Oh No. Now, folks, if you don't see the humor in the scripture, then something's not right with you. The plain of Oh No was where they wanted to meet. And I provided you with a map because I wanted you to know where Oh No is. Find Joppa on the coast, along the Mediterranean Sea there, in my great colorful map that I provided to you. Find Joppa. Go over about a half inch and a little bit to the south, and you'll find the very tiny town of Oh No. Everybody found it? Now, go down in the very corner of the map, the right-hand corner, and you will see there the Persian province of Judah under Nehemiah. And you will see that Oh No is right near the edge. To the north is Samaria, and to the west is the Mediterranean. Oh No is about 6 miles from Joppa, right from the water there. So you can see that they want to take Nehemiah and have him go meet them at the farthest reaches of the Persian Empire, almost to the Mediterranean Ocean. Now, this is 25 miles from Jerusalem. Now, you know how long it takes to ride a camel from Jerusalem to Ono? It is a full day's journey on the back of a camel. It's a day and a half if you walk to get there. You leave Jerusalem and you go down. All right? Remember, Jerusalem is up in the heights. You go down from Jerusalem and you work your way across all the way over almost to the Mediterranean Sea. Now, why did they want to meet in Ono? Well, we're going to find out here that they were going to kill him. They were going to do mischief against Nehemiah. And Nehemiah suspected foul play. He says, I sent messengers unto them in verse 3, saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Now, why would they want him a day's journey away from Jerusalem? Well, he would not be able to oversee the work, first of all, and by outnumbering him, they might do him harm. Simple facts there. Nehemiah responded by sending messengers to tell them that he was involved in a great or important work, in the Hebrew word there, and could not leave it unsupervised. By responding this way, Nehemiah was not openly questioning their motives. In fact, he was giving them an opportunity to prove their motives were sincere if they really wanted to make peace. And we're going to stop there tonight because we have run out of time. We're going to pick up with number 3 in our notes next time because Sanballat and Geshem are going to show their hand. All right? They're going to reveal their true purposes here. And we're going to look a little deeper into some of the methodology of the enemies of God's people because I think it's important that we point these out so that you and I will not be ignorant of the devices of Satan. Mm-hmm.